May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated. Our hearts are heavy this morning. Our community has suffered a loss, a significant loss indeed. When I first heard of Jim's accident and his death, my response was disbelief. Now, I know something about life cycles, and the fact is, the older you get, the higher the likelihood it is you're going to die. That simply makes sense. But with some people, you just don't expect it. I mean, Jim was one of the foundations of our community. Some people's presence just brings with it a sense of security, a sense of order, a sense of structure, a sense of predictability. Some people call those people stalwart. That was Jim. I just kind of thought he would go on forever. I know that doesn't make any sense, but I'm talking about feelings right now. I'm not talking about science. I'm not talking about my thoughts. I'm talking about my heart. I'm talking about my feelings. Somehow, it never occurred to me that he would depart this life. When I heard the news, images just went through my head of Jim. One was after my first sermon here at St. James. He said to me, "One of the things I like about your preaching is that I don't have to strain to hear." He said, "You don't need any hearing aids when you preach." Another time he came to me after a sermon and said, "There ain't no sleeping in the church when you're in the pulpit." Now I chose to hear that comment. It's Jim telling me that my preaching, my message was so compelling that he had to hear. I suspect his point was a lot more simple than that, however. One Christmas season a few years ago, I went with the youth group to different homes of the congregants to sing Christmas carols. When we got to Jim's house, he welcomed us warmly. He positioned us so that our voices were going into the house, and he opened the door so that his beloved Billy could hear, even though she couldn't come out. I have the vision in my mind of Jim standing there, coatless in the cold, with a serene look on his face. One of the first Sundays when we returned to in-church worship, Carl was doing his thing of safely dismissing us. I heard Jim snap, "I don't need nobody to tell me how to leave this church. I've been walking out of this church for a long time. I know how to do it." I'm not sure if Carl heard Jim say it. I'm not even sure that Jim was talking directly to Carl, but that was Jim. In the Jewish tradition, when an honorable person dies, it is said, "May their memory be a blessing." Now, many people hear that and think that the message is that you should think of the person and just the thought should give you good feelings, that just the memory of them in and of itself is the blessing. That is not, however, what is intended. "May their memory be a blessing" means that their memory should serve as a catalyst for us doing the positive things in the future that that person did while they were here. May the memory of the departed cause us to walk in their footsteps and continue to do their good works. May we model for others what they modeled for us. As with many things in the Judeo-Christian tradition, the term "may his memory be a blessing" is not a passive statement. Rather, it is a call to action. We are not to simply think positively about the departed person. No, we are to act out the best parts of them as we remember them. That is the blessing that their memory bestows upon the world. James W. Jim Babcock, may his memory be a blessing to us all. In the gospel reading this morning, we see the people questioning the words and the proclamations of Jesus. They are dubious about his claim to have come from heaven. And their questioning, their doubts are based upon their observations and experience. It is not due to a lack of them. They know Jesus' parents. I can hear somebody from the crowd saying, "That boy came out of Mary. He did not come down from heaven." Many of them probably saw Jesus grow up, perhaps doing all the things little boys do as they grow up, playing tag and roughhousing the fields, getting into normal, appropriate trouble. Jesus may indeed have experienced the same issues of adolescence that all young boys do. So those people, based on their experience, had difficulty perceiving Jesus as anything but a normal child and young man. To them, perceiving him as the bread of life and coming down from heaven was an incomprehensible concept. It was a hard pill to swallow. They were no place near trying to understand Jesus' theological message or spiritual message. They were looking at the boy they saw grew up. They could not get beyond their experience and hear a new message. Jesus was compelling them to see him as someone different, but the people were not having it. That is not the only time that happened to Jesus. On another occasion when he went home, the people began to say, "He is out of his natural mind. He does not even remember who he is." His family was so concerned when they heard about him that they went out to get him, to bring him home, to protect him. Indeed, the Bible tells us to restrain him. So what the people in today's gospel reading thought they knew about Jesus served as an impediment to them of finding out and understanding who Jesus really was. They thought he was simply a carpenter, the son of Mary. They couldn't get beyond what they thought and see something different and something new. And aren't we like that? I know that I am. Often I get so hung up in what I know or what I think I know, I cannot perceive and understand something new and different. I get so comfortable with what I think I know and what I've experienced that I get closed off to more meaningful and new experiences. In order to truly understand the message of Jesus, we must remain open to learning and perceiving things differently. We must be willing and able to see beyond our personal experiences in order to grow, in order to truly act out the message of Jesus of Nazareth, Mary's boy, God's son. You do not come to church on Sunday morning to practice Christianity. We need to get beyond that idea that the church is a place to come to practice our love of Jesus and to practice our Christianity. The doctor does not go to medical school to practice medicine. The doctor goes to medical school to learn about medicine, to go out into the world and heal. The firefighter does not go to the fire station to protect the community. The firefighter goes to the fire station to gather with his peers, with his brothers and sister firefighters, to go out and fight fire in the community. Members of the Jesus movement do not go into the church to be Christian. They go in the church to get what they need to go into the world to be Christians. For many of us, that is a new and different way of perceiving the church. To truly live into a relationship with Jesus, we must see the immigrant not as a person who is here to take our jobs and dilute our culture and ruin our land. We must see them the same as us. People trying to do the best they can to have a happy and productive life. People who are no more responsible for where they were born than we are. We must change our view and see and treat the mentally ill with the same understanding and compassion and respect that we view and treat those who are physically ill. We must not allow what we think about a person to interfere with us understanding who the person actually is. We must get beyond reciting the eloquent words of Amos to let justice run down like waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. We must see, in the words of the great preacher William Sloan Coffin, it is one thing to say with the prophet Amos, let justice run like waters, and quite another to work out the irrigation system. And far too many of us are hooked on the Hallmark Sunday afternoon movie definition version of love. We are so hooked on that understanding of love that we can't get beyond it and understand what Jesus is talking about. Now, I love me some Smokey Robinson. And I think Smokey is one of the greatest poets this country has ever produced. But don't confuse the love that Smokey Robinson talks about with the love that Jesus talks about. Get beyond Smokey and what other singers are talking about to understand what Jesus is talking about. Love for the people of the way is less about feeling and more about doing. Feel the way you want about your neighbors, but treat them with love and respect. Love for Jesus is not a passive feeling. It is an action. It is a way of living. We cannot be like the people who could not get beyond what they thought they knew and so closed off to what is actually true and actually possible. And let's get beyond the notion that we as individuals can somehow change the world. That notion, that idea, I think, leads to paralysis. Changing the entire world gives us permission to do nothing, because changing the entire world is such an impossible, incomprehensible chore. I just recently celebrated 19 years of sobriety. 19 years without having one single drink. Now, when I was leaving the treatment center, if somebody told me, commit to the next 19 years of not drinking, I would have said to myself and them, you are out of your natural mind. I would have drank that day and got it over with, because the notion of not drinking for the rest of my life was simply incomprehensible. But when I left that treatment center that day, I made the commitment to simply not drink that day. One single day. And for 19 years, I have not drank one single day at a time. As I stand here now, 19 years later, I'm reasonably confident that I will make it through this day. I have some self-assurance that I will go to sleep this night without having had a drink. But I will make you absolutely no commitments or guarantees or statements about tomorrow. And so I say to you this morning, don't even think about changing the world. Don't think about something that incomprehensible. Leave that to people like Martin King or Mother Teresa or Gandhi. Get beyond that notion of changing the world. Speaking out against racism when you experience it in your home, in your community, do that. Don't worry about the lack of love on the planet. You simply love your neighbor and those that you come in contact with. Live your life on a daily basis the way of Jesus. Treat others the way you want to be treated. The people surrounding Jesus that day had difficulty getting beyond what they knew. Many of us remain caught up in the idea that when Jesus talks about God's kingdom, he is talking about some other place. That he is speaking of some eschatological place, something beyond the period of our lives. The theologian Dallas Willard said, the gospel is less about how we get into the kingdom of heaven after you die, and more about how to live in the kingdom of heaven before you die. We must get beyond the idea that a Christian life is lived in an attempt to be rewarded after death. A Christian life is lived to bring the kingdom of God onto this earth, to our little piece of the world today. So I say to you, live in such a way that you can change and that you can grow and learn more about our Savior every single day. Let us try to get beyond the confines of the past. For me, I am not there yet. I am still driven in many ways by my prejudice, my biases, and yes, even my bigotry. But let us all make a commitment to make a change and to at least stand together and try to change. Let us stand together and strive to be and live the way of Jesus, the way of love. Let us all live and be in such a way that when we depart this earth, our memory will be a blessing. Amen.